Welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, silly season is upon us. We give our tips for the two big preliminary finals and for the Brownlow medal.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh!
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Thursday. It's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Sitting next to me in the studio, Glenn Quartermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. And on my right, I have Will Stannard from the Swan Valley Anglican Community School, who's been doing work experience with us this week at the West Australian.
And his important tips.
Will's going to give us a couple of tips on who he thinks is going to win the two big games this weekend. That'll be later on in the show. Quarters, there's quite a bit going on.
Oh, silly season is upon us.
Well, it's nearly upon us.
Oh, it's on us. It's upon us, mate.
I think we'll try and get the footy out of the way first before it gets too silly.
Oh, yeah, well, we should.
So Dusty Martin is injured, not injured. He's going to play, he's not going to play. He's in doubt. He's definitely going to play.
Yeah, he's playing. He's just got a really bad corky from his thigh down to his knee. It's a big bleed. So I'm tipping that that'll be whacked in the first minute. Well, it'd be silly if they don't. Someone will find their knee in that area, I reckon.
There'll be some sort of compression apparatus, I'd imagine.
Probably just lucky that Sam Mitchell has retired.
Probably.
He was the expert at that one.
Good point, good point. And yes, he was the deliberate corker.
Yeah, so they reckon that when you're in the midfield and you're playing against the Hawks in those days, you just did not look forward to it because you were really sore for a couple of weeks afterwards in the thigh area.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, well, I've heard of antisocial football, but that's taking things a little bit too far, Glenn.
That was antisocial football. But, he'll play. There's absolutely no doubt he will front up this week.
We had a little bit of a flutter with Max Gawn because he missed a training session.
He was there on Wednesday. Told us he would, and he was there.
Of course he was. Yes, because they never lie this time of year.
No, they don't. look, there's a bit of that going on, but I think mostly you'll see the sides line up as named, and Dusty will be interesting to see how much time he spends in the midfield and forward line as a result. But really, really good weekend, preliminary final weekend. It's a weird weekend. It's a bit of a twilight zone weekend because you've got the guys who are going full ball, but then they don't want to be injured. It's a really weird, it's a really anxious weekend if you're a supporter of the clubs.
Oh, massive, because you're so close to the big dance. And I think Bob Murphy summed it up. He said, losing a preliminary final, he said, is like being impaled.
Yeah. And the worst part is you've got to sit back and watch the next week unfold and you're not a part of it.
And he should know, he lost three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
In 3 years. And two of them were pretty close against St Kilda. So,
I mean, the Hawks haven't lost too many preliminary finals in my time. They've won plenty, but I'll tell you what, I've aged about 50 years watching them because there have been some close ones.
There was the thriller in 2011, wasn't there, when Buddy kicked the freak goal from deep in the pocket.
And then
Luke Ball from the stoppage snapped a ripper goal and then got the Pies out from under them.
And the best punch delivered that night was Alistair Clarkson hitting the interchange box roof after the final siren.
You know the other thing memorable about that game, Quarters? Heath Shaw broke a team rule to swing the game. So we know that, remember Mick Malthouse was very much a stay close to the boundary sort of a coach, and the Hawks had the Pies absolutely nutted and the Pies couldn't score. And then in, I think it was the third quarter, Shaw just thought, stuff it, pulled the trigger, came back inside. He hit Jared Blair and they got a goal out of it and basically got some momentum back, and that was a big turning point.
Did he get a bake?
I reckon he might have escaped the bake in that time. but certainly it was, Mick liked his players to go long down the line so that they could protect the turnover if the turnover occurred. Of course, the problem was with that ethos is that you're more likely to turn it over because the other team could absolutely set up to defend you further down the line.
The other interesting thing this weekend will be we're expecting close to the 100,000 mark if we don't hit the magical mark on Friday night at the MCG for the Richmond-Collingwood game. Well, I reckon there might be more noise here on Saturday. with the 60,000 because it is a amphitheatre and it generates a lot of noise.
They say so. The Collingwood players, Scott Pendlebury made the comment during the week that the noise at Optus Stadium was the loudest he had played in front of, and basically the
including grand finals,
the Collingwood players couldn't hear. Mm. He said louder than Anzac Day, which is when you've got all the Collingwood and Essendon fans in there and they're really roaring and bellowing. Preliminary finals in Melbourne, when there are two big Melbourne suburban clubs involved, they are massive.
They are, and it's different to grand finals because you've got a better spread of the competing team supporters, whereas grand final day, it's diluted a little bit because you've got all your corporates and your non-supporting.
A little bit.
Yeah, a lot, yes. So you still get, it's still a great sound, it's still a great experience, but you don't quite get the same decibels you get for prelims.
Yep, no, I agree. Now, do you expect any surprises when the teams are announced?
I don't think so. Not with big names. I thought Darcy Moore might have been a consideration. There's some speculation at West Coast over whether they do go for a tall, but I think they'll pretty well line up as they have. I don't think there'll be too many surprises. I don't think there'll be too many surprises on match day either. I think at this time of year, you back yourself in. You got this far, you back yourself in, I think.
Well, let's first of all deal with one of the preliminary finals. We'll go to the Friday night game. It's Richmond v Collingwood, the premiership favourites versus one of the surprises in the top four this year.
Collingwood, definitely. Great effort to get there, given they have had their injuries. No one picked them to be top four. I was there the last time they played in a final, 38 years ago. I was 14, Duff. 1980 grand final. Collingwood had its pants.
That would have been a sophisticated crowd.
I was a bit young, but I was on the wing, and my enduring memories of it are a little KB, winning the Norm Smith, kicking seven, and they won by 80 points, I think.
Yep.
So it was a one-sided affair. The other thing I remember, there's a Richmond player, Trevor Strawn, and after they'd done their victory lap, he appeared from the rooms and came over to my – and in those days, mate, I'd hang around after the game to pick up all the records.
Yep.
And he lost his medal. And he was trying to find it through all the streamers and what have you. And he did find it, which was fantastic. But we were all there quite anxious watching him trying to find this medal that had dropped.
There was a Strawn that played in that grand final. I don't know whether his first name was Trevor. There was Trevor Poole.
Yeah, that's right. Did Trevor Poole play in that game?
I don't think he did. But Mickey Malthouse did. Mickey Malthouse did.
Mm.
Back pocket player, number seven.
Yep.
A lot of his opponents used to end up with blood on them, and it was never mixed blood.
That's right. Mad Mickey Malthouse, as the could have been champion thing.
Yeah.
Two games this year, Richmond's won by 43 and 28 points, round 6 and round 19. Really significant in both games. They were pretty close and Richmond ran away with it in the last quarter. And Richmond has been a great final quarter side this year. So it goes without saying, I think Collingwood wants, if they want to win this, they want a bit of distance between themselves and Richmond at three-quarter time.
So I think the last game was a cracker.
Yep.
And as you say, Richmond...
Round 6 was a good game. It's just... The last quarter, they sort of turned their toes up a bit. Richmond ran away, and they ended up 43 points in front. And you shook your head after that, thinking that was not a 7-goal game.
Big in for this one, I reckon, is Adam Treloar.
Yep.
Adam Treloar missed the last time they played. And the other thing that happened the last time they played is that Collingwood got injuries mid-match. So this was the game that Scharenberg went down.
Yep.
And Jeremy Howe also got concussed in this match. So Collingwood will look forward. They will feel like they're a chance in this game.
They will, and big midfield battle here. Martin, Cochin, Prestia, Lambert, Pendlebury, Treloar, Sidebottom, Adams. For me, if I'm looking to tag a Collingwood player, I'm probably thinking about Sidebottom.
Oh, well, given his form in the finals.
And his form all year.
Yeah.
I just think he's a real key to them and kicks goals as well. So I just think they will have a good look at that. But big midfield battle and interesting. The Tigers will look at contested possession. That's the area that GWS got on top last week when they had a bit of a yelp. So that's probably Collingwood's Achilles heel in a way. So we'll see what happens there. Match winners everywhere. But I think Grundy, Nankervis will be really significant. And probably Grimes and Dugowie. Dugowie, he's the real key to Collingwood as well, up there in the forward line. Terrific play. He's got Norm Smith written all over him at some point, I reckon. Just don't know if it's going to be this year.
No, he's probably going to be a bit like Martin, I reckon, where it takes him a few years to understand what is required in preparation to go to that next level. Like right now, we're seeing a player exist on power and talent.
And bursts.
And he's a burst player. Mm. I think at some point, hopefully for Jordan Ngoi, the penny drops, as it did for Dustin Martin ahead of last year, and he just goes to another level.
Ngoi's,
yes. Well, you know what? Last week, Ngoi was going to be best player on the ground because the Giants couldn't find anyone to Ngoi with him.
Exactly. We'll see what happens. I think Grimes is quick enough. It's just to be a really interesting matchup. I mean, he's a good player, Grimes.
So I reckon it's either Grimes or Rance. It has to be one of those two.
Won't be Rance.
So who do you think Rance is going to?
I think he just goes to no one. Right. I think he floats around.
So Asprey will play on Cox. That's
I think
your
so.
Feeling?
I think so. Yeah, he's the key to Cox. I think he played on him last time and did a reasonable job. I think that's the go. But I think they'll try and get Rance out on his own if possible.
Now, obviously, Collingwood was stretched down back in their qualifying final.
Have been all year.
Because they don't have genuine talls. Darcy Moore was the player that earmarked to be that defensive tall.
And I'm a bit surprised they haven't brought him in, but he's got that hamstring risk.
Yeah, look, he's broken down a couple of times in games. I think it's too big a risk to bring him in for this. But the interesting thing is the way that Richmond structure up, they won't be as stretched height-wise this time. They'll have to match up on Revolt, and they'll have to match up on Caddy, who plays very tall for his size.
Goldsack plays a little taller too.
Yeah, so and I think the other one is expect Nankervis to push forward as much as he can in this game because Richmond will want a third tall marking target down there that the Pies are at their wits' end trying to match up on. Because as it stands, I don't think Collingwood will be quaking in their boots like they might have been when they're thinking, how are we going to match up with Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling and a genuine resting ruckman when they played West Coast?
Yep. Richmond's about system, isn't it? It's not about individuals, really.
No, that's right.
But I think the two ins, you mentioned Treloar before, but I think Goldsack's a big in too.
And the other thing that their moderately sized backline will help them with, Quarters, is that, as you say, Richmond is about system, and the main job of Revolt and Caddy is to get the ball on the deck so that the smalls can go to work. So you have to have players who are mobile and nimble and adept at handling the ball under serious heat because they will be under serious heat from the likes of Rioli and Higgins and Castagna and those guys as they surge forward.
It's like a feeding frenzy off Cape Cuvier, Duff, when it's in that Richmond forward line. It is frenetic.
I likened it, after watching them play Hawthorn in the first final, I liked it to the running of the Bulls.
Yeah.
And they are the Bulls.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Maynard played on Toby Green last week and announced pre-game that he would be playing on Toby Green and did a fantastic job, was one of the best players on the ground, got votes from both coaches. If Dusty Martin spends most of his time forward, is Braden Maynard the person you send to him?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I would have thought so. I think they'll wait and see with Dusty and what sort of shape he's in. I'd expect him to be 70-80%. Yep. So I reckon that's a good matchup. Yep.
Okay. And what about the ruck battle? Obviously, Brody Grundy versus Nankervis. Grundy's been pretty good for Collingwood in their two finals wins. Can Nankervis, he's almost Richmond's most important player. He's the one guy they can't replace.
That's what Mickey Malthouse said in his column in the Sunday Times last week, and I would tend to agree with that. Interestingly, we had, I think it was Damien Hartwick saying that he rated Grundy the best ruckman in the competition. There's another bloke at Melbourne who goes, all right, too, who I might. But they're not far apart if he's not a better ruckman. He's a good player, Grundy, and it's not just what he does at the stoppages, it's what he does around the ground.
Yeah, he's very skillful. He plays well below his knees. So he actually has an impact at ground level as well as at the stoppage. And he's become far more competitive at the stoppage than he was before.
Confidence is sky high too. You can see it in him.
He's got a bit of swagger
about him. He has. So, you know, very significant. I'm going to pick the Tigers. I think it'll be a really close affair. And then, as we do see sometimes in prelims, is once the battle is broken and won, a team does get away. I think Richmond wins this by about 5 goals.
I'm going to tip Richmond. I'm going to tip them by about 14 points. I think it'll be close most of the way, and I think Richmond can ease clear later. Before we move on to the next game, we have to get Will in here. Will, over mouth to the microphone. Who are you tipping to win?
And margin.
The first preliminary final tomorrow night.
Yes. What's the Richmond or Collingwood?
Richmond.
Bye.
No, I know, sorry, Collingwood.
Oh, you're going to go against the grain.
Yeah, they're the underdogs.
Okay, good on you.
Yeah, they have nothing to lose, I don't think. So maybe just like 6 points.
6 points.
Collingwood 6 points. Well, I'm going to go Richmond 30. So Will, Collingwood 6. I'm going Richmond 30. You're going Richmond 14.
And that is official policy from the Swan Valley Anglican Community School, brought to us by Will Stanner.
That's right, Will. But don't go betting on that.
No, that's right. Just hold your horses if you're going to lay a bet with Tab Touch on that. All right, moving on to the second preliminary final quarters.
Saturday, 1:20 p.m, West Coast v Melbourne at Optus Stadium. It's going to shake the foundations there on the peninsula. And look, again, massive matchups here, a lot of questions. I think the key is the return, unlike the last time they played, round 22, when Melbourne won and assured themselves of the finals berth. I think Josh Kennedy's presence. Jack Darling hopefully gets four quarters, as he only played less than a quarter last time. They're significant ins. Shepherd's a big out, and I think early when he in his departure, they were a little shaken, but yep. I think they came to terms with it. I think I'm picking West Coast to win this one by about 15 points this game.
Okay, you've got the tip out of the way early.
Yeah, I have, mate, yes.
So I think that there are any number of keys to this game, and I think it's a fascinating game because I think West Coast have every right to feel like they should be favourites in this game, given the season that they've had. They're 11-0 with Kennedy and Darling playing. They're 10-3 at Optus Stadium. They're 3-1 against the other preliminary finalists, and they have been the second best team all year. But I think Melbourne also has every right to come here with very strong belief. They've built up a truckload of momentum. They are, I think, in most people's eyes, the emerging power of all these teams that are coming through in this AFL final series. It's a powerhouse midfield. It's a contested ball monster winning midfield.
And contested ball wins finals and big finals.
They've got a dominant ruckman. They've got two good targets to aim at. With Tommy McDonald in good form and Sam Wiedemann also in good form in his two finals. At the other end, I think it's a little bit dicey for them. I think Oscar McDonald and Sam Frost, I think they have massive jobs to play on Kennedy and Darling. I reckon quarters that you mentioned Shepherd's out, it's a big out.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon Jack Viney's in is a big in for Melbourne because it strengthens that contested ball winning ethos that they have. But I reckon, if you're looking at the matchups at either end, I reckon the keys are going to be who West Coast sends to Christian Petrarca. I reckon Petrarca's the one that could get off the leash.
He is.
Here.
Yeah, he's the X factor. I think you'll probably find Hutchings on Oliver, but who Petrarca gets is going to be really interesting. Who does Harms go to? Harms has been a real revelation in the second half of the year. Last time he got Shuey, might get Yo this time.
I reckon the problem with Yo is that I would send him to Shuey.
Yep.
And my thinking there is that Yo plays on gun mid sometimes, and it doesn't bother him one iota. So we've seen Elliot Yo go to Nathan Fyfe and match him touch for touch. We've seen Elliot Yo go to Patrick Dangerfield and match him touch for touch. And we've seen him go to Dusty Martin as well. I'm not sure you're going to put a dent in Elliot Yo's game. Elliot Yo won 24 contested possessions against Collingwood. That's a monster figure.
Yeah, it is. Harms does it too. He goes to players, has a good influence, and still gets plenty of the footy.
I think you can put a dent in Shuey, and if you put a dent in one of those three key West Coast mids, so the three key West Coast mids for me are Yo, Shuey, and Redden, and if you can put a dent in one of them, I think Shuey is about the right size for Harms.
More gettable than Yo, you're saying.
He's not in super nick at the moment. Look, he's going okay, don't get me wrong. He's not playing poorly or anything like that.
It was a good final, not a great final from him.
He had a great last quarter, which was significant in the result, and that may be a turning point for him. But I think he's just been ticking over. He may be the one that Simon Goodwin thinks he can get. Now, if you're down the other end, if you're Goodwin, how do you go matchups on Kennedy and Darling?
Well, I think you go Frost and McDonald, but I reckon the real key to them is how Lycett and Vardy are going to go in not allowing Gawn to drift forward and back.
Yeah.
Because that's the real key. He's really played that. He's almost played as a spare defender while being in the ruck, Gawn.
So he's been Jake Lever and Max Gawn.
And that's just why the bloke's had an incredible year. So I think he's the key to this match. I know we talk about Kennedy and Darling and Petrarca, but that to me is may decide this game, how much he's allowed to that latitude of going forward and back. We know what he's going to do in the middle, but that role is going to be key.
Now, the other key here is the weather because of the fact that Melbourne are coming here. They've got the short turnaround before the grand final. They've decided to play the game in the afternoon rather than in the evening, so they can get out and get them home before midnight. It's going to be 25 degrees maximum on Saturday afternoon.
Great conditions, and the highest scoring team, Melbourne, average 15 goals a game.
Is this a factor for Melbourne?
It is. It is. It's a good factor. I think it's a good factor for Melbourne. I don't think the heat, you're saying the heat might affect them?
Yeah, yeah. It's been very, very cold in Melbourne the last few weeks.
Yeah. It always cold in Melbourne, mate. My hometown, I love it, and God bless it for it. But I don't think so, mate. They're fit young men. I don't think it'll have that huge of an impact.
Okay.
We'll see.
So you're tipping?
I'm tipping the Eagles by 15 points. I think it'll be a real arm wrestle, and they'll break away in the last quarter.
I think this is going to be an absolute cracker. I think the heat could be a factor, but only late. I think West Coast will probably stay the course a little bit longer than Melbourne, and I think it's going to be very difficult for those two young key defenders, McDonald and Frost, to hold up against Darling and Kennedy. I think Darling and Kennedy could be massive factors in this game again. I'm tipping the Eagles by 7 points in this one.
When you do lose Melbourne, there's always the World Club, so just they may open the doors for you.
And they'll have cognac and cigars.
Yes,
and
just to ease the pain a bit, lads. Yes. It's okay. You've got that's pretty good. Now, we should give our Brownlow tips, mate.
First of all, we've got to get Will's tip on this game.
Oh, yes, Will. He's Jack in the box there.
I want to say Melbourne, because, you know, like, one game could be anything, but I think Eagles are going to win by, like, 30 or something.
Okay. So, comfortable win to the Eagles from Will. There you go.
Well done. All right. So, let's get on to the Brownlow. Monday night, the night of nights for individual awards in footy.
And the frocks. And the red carpet or the blue carpet. Always interesting.
It's a blue carpet, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's always interesting.
Okay.
To see the frocks. but I got $12 on a little bloke by the name of Tom Mitchell at the end of last footy season. $12. Well, I had a lazy 10 on it. Not that I'm advocating betting, but you know what? If you can get $12 on Tom Mitchell, go for it. So I'm thinking, I think Gawn would be a deserved winner. In many ways, probably deserves it more than Mitchell, but I think the weight of numbers, Tom Mitchell will poll a lot of votes, does poll, has proven that in the past. Tom Mitchell wins for me from Gawn. I'm going to put side bottom in for third. Just reckon he's had a terrific year. And a little roughy, if you want a little roughy, I'm going to go with Sean Higgins.
Well, I've actually got Sean Higgins in my top three, yeah. So I can't have him as a roughy. Yeah. I'm going to go Gawn.
Yep.
I think if a ruckman can't win it this year...
Yep. He never will.
I'm not sure there's a year where a ruckman can win. Because there's always going to be a midfielder that has the sort of year...
That Mitchell has.
That Tom Mitchell has had. There are not many years when you've got two ruckmen like Brody Grundy and Max Gawn who have had the sort of years...
So let's just clarify that. So 1991, Jim Steins. 1992, Scott Wind. But there's an argument that Adam Goods...
Was a ruckman in 03.
Was the ruckman forward, last ruckman to win in 03, 2003. So it's been a midfielder's medal, no doubt.
And Adam Goods, even if he was... When he was written up on the whiteboard, he was named in the ruck. Mm-hmm. He wasn't your conventional everyday ruckman.
He was
a 195 centimetre, 196 centimetre running midfield ruckman.
I'd say the other interesting and curious bet I had yesterday was I saw Richmond at $10 to be the most polled club. I thought that was worth a little dabble too, because they'll poll votes.
Well, they'll poll a lot of threes and twos.
Exactly. So that's I had a bit of a crack at that one.
Yeah, no, that's a very good bet. I think that one.
Thank you, Duff.
So my 1-2-3, Gawn from Mitchell, from Higgins. And as a roughy quarters, this is a player, I'm going to throw him in there because I respect him so much. I'm going to put in Stephen Coniglio.
Oh, yeah.
As my roughy. He's the one Giants midfielder who runs both ways, who does the team thing all of the time.
Good West Australian boy.
A good West Australian boy from out there at in the Swan Valley. Super player. He's had a super year again.
He just keeps, every year is better from him, and it wasn't bad at the beginning.
That's right.
It's just a great talent, that kid.
Well, when you kick four goals in a waffle grand final as a 16 or 17-year-old, you know that I had a recruiter say to me, and he was talking about Adam Chera and Adam Chera's game against Adelaide, and he said, when you get a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old who comes in his first season has a best on ground, he said, you know you've got something.
Yeah.
And I think Coniglio's game in that waffle grand final, I know one level down, but you looked at that and you thought, this kid just has to be a player.
I think what Chera and Coniglio have in common and had – in common early was their decision making at real key when they're late in games, when they're fatigued, and just the ability to look like they've got time and space and make the right decisions when they're fatigued. That's a real sign of a 200-plus champion player, in my opinion.
So, Quarters, we should touch on, as you said, the silly season, the trading madness, which has already begun, even though it hasn't begun.
Yeah.
As Charles Dickens said, let's begin at the beginning, or even before the beginning, or even 2 or 3 weeks before the beginning.
Where do you begin?
Mitch McGovern. He's unlikely to be at Adelaide. He's likely to be at Carlton, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff about there being four clubs still in the race, you view that as the stuff of
nonsense? I think he's going to Carlton. It's just how he's going to Carlton. Yeah. Well, they're not giving away a first rounder.
For Mitch McGovern?
Nope. I don't think they should. I think they can get away with the second rounder and something else.
So Adelaide, my understanding of Adelaide's position is that Adelaide is trying to find a way to position themselves to get both Jack Lukosius and Isaac Rankin,
mm-hmm.
who are likely to be top, well, let's say conservatively, top five draft picks. They could be top three draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
They could be two of the top three. Now, Mitch McGovern has several years of a contract to run, at least two, I think. What purpose does it serve for Adelaide to let him go when they could just turn around and say, you know what, Mitch, you signed the contract. You're going to be here, mate.
Yep. If they don't get what they like, absolutely. I think the other thing, if you spin it around the other way, does Carlton go with Sam Walsh, a country Victorian boy, or do they go with Lukosius? Why not?
Well, the problem with that argument, I
reckon... 10 hours in a car. Adelaide's not that far away.
No, I agree with that. And look, I don't think Lukosius would mind as long as Carlton were going all right.
Yeah.
He won't have a choice
if they draft him, though.
But they've got Curnow and they've got Mackay. And Lukosius is your mobile forward. He's kind of Charlie Curnow.
Yeah, elite height, though. Elite height. It's rare.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
I don't know. If I was them, I'd be taking the mid. In fact, if I was them, I'd be taking Rankin.
Mm.
I mean, I saw Rankin play the game against one of the Victorian teams, and he just blew the game apart.
Did he have consistency? Or was it one out of the box? I'm not saying he can't play. I've seen more consistency from Lukosius, and Sam Walsh, there's big raps on him.
Sam Walsh is your Hugh McLuggage type.
Yep.
He's your rolled gold, 200 game.
Country Vic, so he's not going anywhere.
Top five in your best and fairest. He's that player. Rankin is your, I mean, the player I liken him to, and this is a huge rap, he reminds me a bit of Peter Matera.
Yeah.
You know, he's explosive, he's clever, he's elite with the ball.
He can kick your five in a grand final from a flank.
Exactly.
So that's why you draft him.
Yeah, he's got some, I'm told he's got some tricks off the field, which may frighten a few off, or that might discount him a little bit.
Unlike most of his peers.
but very exciting player, and certainly the one, when you watched the 18s last year, he was the one that really jumped off the page at you.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, Dylan Sheil.
Well, Hawthorn are big time into him, big time. And I think he's the right fit for Hawthorn, another elite mid who can play, you know, inside, outside. I think he's perfect for Hawthorn. Whether he gets there or not is up to Hawthorn, but I wouldn't write off Hawthorn's ability to manoeuvre themselves because they're good at it.
So how do they do that? Because Dylan Sheil, Hawthorn...
You've got to trade out early picks, I think, for that to happen.
So he's going to have to be a top 10 draft pick. Dylan
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, every day of the week.
They're talking about $1 million salary.
Yep.
For Dylan Sheil. There's no way the Giants can let $1 million a year player go.
They have got midfield depth, but I don't want to see them lose too much more. They have lost a lot, GWS. They've had that depth from their really astute drafting with all those draft picks they had, but they're starting to just get chipped away now, and I don't want to see them lose too many because I really want to see them have a run at a flag.
Yeah, well, they're taking a run at a flag.
They have for 3 years.
Let's not kid ourselves. They've been top six for 3 years.
Yeah,
they've been in the mix. You know, they were late in the game against Collingwood. They were a kick and a half from being in front in a semi-final, which would have put them into a third successive preliminary final. And people would have given them a chance against Richmond as well. So they're in the mix. They've got Taranto and Hopper, who will be 1 year older, one year harder.
He's a ripper, Hopper. Had a good final series. What about locally? Where do you see Lobb going? If he goes locally, West Coast or Freo? And I think we can safely assume Lysett's going to Port Adelaide after the final series. But Gaff's the other one that
still not convinced Gaff's going.
Yep.
It's on one hand, history says if he hasn't announced that he's re-signed by now, then he's going. Like, this would be the perfect time to do it, wouldn't it? You're in the lead into a preliminary final.
Different scenario with him, though, because they're still playing deep in the finals. And I just think...
This is the week that Dusty Martin was announced last week, and it was viewed as a massive morale boost for for Richmond in their lead into the final.
Could be one up the sleeve for next week for the Eagles.
Possibly.
Yeah.
The other thing is his manager, Paul Connors, is adamant, swore on his child's life on trade radio the other day that Gaff is yet to make up his mind.
A manager telling the truth.
Well, it's a big swear.
Yes.
It's not one that I'd be doing lightly.
I tend to take him on his word at that. I'm not sure if he has. It's been a pretty tumultuous period for Gaff.
Absolutely.
So maybe he hasn't yet. And I guess in a funny way, what happened may help keep him at the Eagles.
This is the Brayshaw incident you're talking
about. Yeah, of course, yes.
I'm not sure that if I'm Andrew Gaff or if I'm the person advising Andrew Gaff, I would be saying do not let that incident be a factor in your – either way –
yeah, but you can say that, but it will be.
Do not make it the reason you go. Mm-hmm. Do not make it the reason you stay. But the father's health, on the other hand, his father Paul, mm-hmm. I would say if you're going to stay here, you want to be comfortable that he's okay and the family's okay.
Yep.
You don't really want to be on the other side of the country if something significant happens further down the track.
So if he does go, he's one of 50 players going to North, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to have a hell of a squad, North.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to fit them all in.
And a hell of a salary cap, too. Mm. Been using Gubby Allen as a consultant.
Yeah, okay.
Gubby's an ideas man.
He's an ideas man.
Someone else has got to do the figures, but Gubby is definitely an ideas man.
He's an ideas man. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you tip well this weekend. If you've got one of the four teams heading into the preliminary finals this weekend, we hope your team goes well and is still involved come next week when we brace ourselves for the biggest week of the AFL season. Thank you for Tab Touch.
My shout for coffee next week if Tom Mitchell gets up. I think our producer Nick might have had a little sneaky one on Tom Mitchell too at reasonable odds, so he might say, well, lunch.
Coffee.
How about that? Let's call it lunch.
Okay, lunch. It'll be a liquid lunch too.
It will be, yes.
Especially after the end of the season. Now, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for Tab Touch for supporting us throughout the course of the season. Don't forget to bet responsibly if you're dabbling with their products this weekend.
Mm.
And we'll be back on Tuesday to talk you through all the ramifications and all the prognostications.
And the mad Mondays that go terribly wrong.
And there will be...
Oh, yes.
There will
for
be a
two
couple.
Teams.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch.